Amen. Blessing to see everyone. We did have a tremendous time at camp. Thank you for your prayers and just all the support and the blessing. With that, it was a sweet spirit, good attitudes. And honestly, if we just have those two things, safety on the road, those three things, then it's going to be a great time. And it really was. But the preaching was over the top, all the messages. We had three different speakers throughout the week, and all three of them just brought excellent messages. And God worked in our group, and He's continuing to work. We just had a blessed time. Now, we'll report more about that tonight. You won't want to miss it, so there'll be testimonies time tonight. We're going to postpone our missions update from tonight. We're going to do it Wednesday, just for this Sunday night, so we can give more time for testimonies. We have a video, a seven-minute-long video that I put together yesterday. And we're going to show that tonight. And it's all about camp and things. So you'll see pictures, and it'll be a good time. So make plans to be here tonight. We'll have a good time together. And it's a blessing to be here with you this morning. And I look forward to the lesson this morning. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes and stand with me. We'll read our text. Ecclesiastes chapter number 8. Begin reading in verse 15. We'll read to verse 17, and we'll finish chapter 8 today. Let's see. We're closing in. Chapter 9, 10, 11, and 12. But I'm not in any big hurry to get through Ecclesiastes. You know what I feel like is more important than just getting through books and getting through things is hearing from God. Don't you think that way too? So what I do, you might wonder, Pastor, how do you select how many verses we're going to do? I just read it, study it, and when the Lord gives me something touches my heart, and there's, you know, a group of verses that go together with that. I know that sounds kind of maybe even mystical. I don't mean for it to sound that way, but I just try to follow the Lord and let Him speak through His Word to me. And then how He touches me, I try to let that become sharpened, and then that's what I try to deliver to you. So I think that's how it's supposed to work, right? The man of God goes to God, he gets the message from God, and then he takes God's message and he lets it work in his life, and then he delivers it to God's people. And it's just, it's like photosynthesis in a spiritual way. You know, we just go to God and bring it to you, and go to God and bring it, and then we all grow, right? Just like photosynthesis. I don't even know a lot about photosynthesis. I can't even say it. Here we go. Verse 15, that took a weird turn. Verse 15. Then I commended mirth. Doesn't that touch you? Amen. We'll talk about it. I'll explain it. Because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. For that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. When I applied mine heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done under the earth, upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes. You feel that way sometimes? Yeah. Some of you are asleep right now. Anyway. Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it, yea, farther, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. And there's somebody out there that's searching and searching, and they're searching for something they just can't find. And unfortunately, they'll never find it searching the way they do. We're going to be talking about this morning, being too busy, too busy.
Amen.
Amen. A few of us maybe are on that train. Let's pray. Father, I pray your blessings. We need you today. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Help us to trust you as you do your work. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You can be seated. Thank you for standing. One thing that people, I think, search for and are having trouble finding is just happiness. There's not a lot of happy people in the world. Have you noticed that? You know what there is a lot of in the world? Angry people.
Amen.
Yes, angry people. Angry people on the road, angry people at Walmart, angry people at, you know, just all over the place, just angry. You know what's ironic or strange about the anger that is often out there, even in our hearts sometimes, is we don't even know why we're angry. We're upset. We're just angry at the world. Watch out for mom. She's in a mood, you know. It's usually not mom. It's usually dad, right? Okay, maybe sometimes it's mom. We just get that way. We're struggling and we're looking, we're searching for that happiness, and we're not finding. We're not singing "Happy Am I." Our camp shirt said "Happy Am I, Jesus is mine." But we're not singing. We could sing it, but we don't live it. We don't have it. But we want it. We're searching for it. And in life, in that search, we are determined to, find that happiness. It's elusive, though. I remember when I was a little kid, Grandma and Grandpa bought me Superman action figures. Remember in the 80s, when Superman was, big, and of course, kind of comes and goes, but Superman, the action figure that I got, it was the kind that had the cloth cape. I mean, he was an action figure, but he had a cloth cape that came on and off. Remember those? Okay. Brother Larry, did you have one of those? Okay. You didn't raise your hand, so I thought we'd have a connection there. So it was just amazing. I just felt like one of the coolest kids. I had a Superman action figure, and it was my favorite Christmas present of all time. I think pretty close, even up till today. I remember putting that action figure on the nightstand on Christmas night and just pulling the blanket, and he's standing up staring at me. And I'm going to sleep, and I pull the blanket up over to my head, and I'm just looking at Superman. He's looking at me, and we just had this amazing thing, and I remember that. And then fast forward a few years, I'm looking for my Superman action figure because I had lost him, and I couldn't find him. And I went through all of my things. I went through all of my things multiple times, and he was gone. I lost my Superman action figure, and it devastated me. And that elusiveness, that search, looking for my Superman was discouraging to me and saddening to me. That's how people are with happiness. They're looking for it. They know that it's something that's out there. It's something that maybe they've had snippets of it before. They've experienced it in life, and they want to live with it. They want to have it so that they can snuggle up to it and maybe live with it, staring at them as they stare at it, and happiness is a part of life. They want that, and they search for it, but what they'll find in life is they can't find it. It's elusive. It's they're reaching for it. They know it's there, but they can never, acquire it. And often what people are searching for in happiness and joy, they'll never find because it can only come from God. The kind of joy that we're talking about this morning, the kind of happiness that people truly are looking for, and all the things they're doing trying to get that happiness, they'll never find it. It'll always be elusive because it comes from God. And unless you get it from God, you won't have it. So it'll be a constant search, but it'll be frustrating because you'll have little seasons or little experiences that'll make you feel like you have happiness. And so you'll continue going for it, continue searching for it, but it'll always just sort of be out of reach. There's one Old Testament character that figured out where joy came from. And I kept coming back to Ruth. I know we've talked about Ruth recently, but think about Ruth for a minute from this perspective, that she took a step of faith to leave Moab, her hometown, took a step of faith to just be obedient to God. By the way, to be obedient to God is taking steps of faith. And when you walk with God, He moves you. Now, I'm not saying He moves you from one place to another place, but He moves you in life. And so you're constantly making choices based on faith. And when you do that, which, by the way, isn't mystical, it's obedience. How do you know if you're living by faith? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Yes. Then you're living by faith. Okay? It's not something that we can't understand. What does God want you to do? Do that. That's living by faith. Anybody in the Old Testament, let's say this, the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, you read each one of those names. You know why they landed in the Hall of Faith? Because God told them to do something and they did it. That's why they're there. We can all do that. And so we live by faith and then God moves us. God did that in Ruth's life. He moved her. He moved her from the place of Moab, and he moved her with Naomi to the land of Israel. She didn't know anybody. It's not her people. It's not her religion. But she rejected, turned away from all of that to follow Ruth, but to follow her God. Your God will be my God. That is a big step of faith. And by the way, ooh, what a good choice. To turn from the God of the world to say the true living God of the scripture, he's going to be my God, who not only is in literature, but he lives in my heart and he walks with me and he talks with me. And so Ruth had that. She followed the Lord. And you know, along the way, there might have been something that she was hoping for, like people do in life, happiness and joy. But she took a step of faith, not knowing if she was going to have that kind of happy life. Am I going to have a family? Am I going to have a husband? Am I going to have the things that every woman really should desire? Am I going to have this? She's obeying God. She's hopeful for it, but she doesn't know. And along the way, God brought her into the path where she would meet Boaz. And we could rehearse the whole story, but you know the story. And what you'll find is that Ruth, in obedience to God, took steps of faith, and then God put her in this path, brought her to Boaz. And you know what came along with all of that? I mean, you can kind of read it between the lines, can't you? Can't you see it? The joy when Ruth delivered her child. And Jesse, I believe it was Jesse, comes on the scene. Remember when you had your first child and the joy that was in your soul? That's what God can do. God brings happiness. God brings joy. People are looking for it, but they're looking in all the wrong places because it comes from God. And this is what Solomon is talking about. You know what? By the way, Solomon is frustrating when you read his story as it is. Like, did you not listen to your own word? I mean, when you study the story of Solomon, you think, man, he had such great counsel and wisdom, but often he didn't listen to it. When you study things like from Ecclesiastes, and the Bible says that he's the preacher, he's the teacher, that we fall underneath, it's like we're in Solomon's Sunday school class, honestly, because he's teaching us. This is tremendous wisdom. He loves his people Israel. I suppose, God through him loves us. And the lesson this morning is how we can find that joy and what people often do to try to find it, but you'll never find it. Let's take a look at verse number 15. Then I commended mirth. Now, when we read that a minute ago, I paused and I said, now, isn't that touching? It really is touching when you understand mirth. Mirth just means joy. It's the joy we're talking about. But it's an exuberant kind of joy. It's the outward expression of what God has done on the inside. You know, when you feel happy on the inside, then you laugh on the outside, you see? When you have that joy on the inside or the butterfly feelings and you just, oh, and then it comes out on the outside through various things. That's what mirth is. Mirth is when you're expressing the joy. So Solomon here is saying he's commending that. He's commending that joy, that flow of happiness. And it really speaks to us in this sense that God wants us to have joy. You know, it's a wrong way to think that God wants to take your joy away. It's a wrong way to think. Young people often think this way. Well, if I follow God, I won't have fun anymore. Well, you're missing it. You're falling into the deception of the devil. He wants you to be on the other side of the coin. The people are always looking for it, but you're never finding it. You're just getting little pieces of it. And it's phony. It's not the real thing. And so God wants you to have this mirth. He wants you to have that joy. He wants you, as he says, look what it says next. It says, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink. So to eat and to drink is often referred to as something that happens in a celebration. So what God wants you to do is he wants you to have that time of celebration or that rejoicing. He wants you to have the time when your heart is overflowing. I can't help but think of a newlywed, can't you? People who just got married and they can't stop staring at each other and they just go, we're just going to go on a date and we're just going to look at each other. Remember those days? Yeah. You know, God said that he wants us to do that, by the way. Husbands and wives, like, oh, he says, rejoice in the wife of your youth. Rejoice. That's the word, right? That's mirth. That's the eating and the drinking and the celebrating. God wants us to have that kind of rejoicing and joy. He desires that. By the way, not only is it something God desires, but he sort of dangles it like a carrot. come follow me. I'll give you joy, but you never can reach it. God's not like that. God makes it available to you, but if you're going to receive it, God's joy and the happiness that He'll give you in life, you have to do it by faith. It means you have to obey Him and trust Him that as a result of obedience, He'll give it to you. And the world offers it. Now, the world's the carrot. That's the carrot. It's the world. It says, you know, I have it, but you'll never find it. It'll never give it to you. So it's commended. Joy is commended. Rejoicing is commended. Being merry is commended. Look at the last part of verse 15. For that shall abide with him of his... Say that next word. Oh, that was terrible. Let's try it again. For that shall abide with him of his what? Labor. You know what that is? That's what you do tomorrow. I mean, today is church day. Tomorrow is not church day. You got to go to work. Yeah, we all go to work. Well, some of us aren't going to work. We're off or retired or anything. Like, all those poor people who have to go to work, you know. You put your time in, right? That's okay. You enjoy your day tomorrow. But here's the thing. Here's what God says. The joy He wants you to have. This is crazy. But God said you can even have that joy when you go to work. Are you kidding me? So the joy that God gives, you have it. He wants you to have it. And it goes with you every area of your life. So that means you have it here, you have it there, not just on vacation, not just at the lake day, but every day when you go to work, even when you're at work, you can have joy. I mean, you didn't even know that, did you? You're like, oh man, my job, go to work. Got to do the labor and put in my time. Clock out, whew, finally, you know. But no, joy can be with you everywhere. That's the kind God wants you to have. But let's talk about those that are looking for that. By the way, that's why I think people quit their job all the time. They're looking for it. They think, you can have joy at work, but it's not because you have the wrong job. Like, well, I just got to get a different job, and I'll have joy. You ever felt that way? Don't raise your hand. God says you can have it. You don't have to find another job to have it. Okay? But there are people who are looking for it. It's all around. Look at verse 16. When I applied mine heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes. So let's talk about this guy he's describing. There's a guy he's watching in his business. What's that? That's work. He's doing his business. He's doing his work, doing his thing, right? And in that, he's looking for something. That's business. He's in his business. He's working for something. He's working for something. You might assume he's working for money, and often it is that people are working for money. But do you know what the motive of working for money is ultimately? Happiness, joy. So even if it's money is his business. It's not always money, though, by the way, that we're working for. We could also be working for something else, but it's all the same end. Something that satisfies us, something that completes us or makes us feel that joy. That, you know, so we're constantly looking for it. But you know what he found as he's making observation of people who are working and working and doing their business to find this? They're never resting. They're always tired. So the idea there is that they're busy. Listen, by the way, what's the root word of business? It's busy. He's busy, and he's busy, and she's busy, and she's busy looking for something, but never finding it. They're always tired, but never finding what she's looking for, what he's looking for. Busy, busy. You know what Solomon is seeing here? He's seeing a busy people. Looking for something that only God can give them, but they're out there searching for it. Working and working and working and busy and just hectic and chaos and tired. Oh man, how are you feeling this morning? I'm tired, you know. Are we in teen class this morning? Ask any teenager this morning. Well, generally speaking, any teen, unless they had coffee and a donut, which watch out, give teenager any of those. But usually it's that, right? Tired. There was one kid in our youth class. It did not matter. Every single Sunday, he didn't even use articles. He didn't say, I'm tired, or descriptive, you know. He just said, tired. Like, that's the entire sentence, you know, youth class. All right, how are you doing today? Sean, his name. I'm tired. That's it. Well, we can be busy, busy, busy looking for something, and we'll be tired but never have it. That's what he's saying. How do you know you'll never have it? Well, let's look at verse number 17, because he makes it plain there. And I beheld the work of God, that man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Cannot find out. So there's something that God gives and man's looking for, but he's not finding it, you see? Because though a man labor to seek it out, say those next words with me, yet he shall not find it. Are you there? Verse 17. Solomon just said he's looking for it. He's not going to find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet he shall not be able to find it. It's just, you're never going to find it. Why? Because you're looking in the wrong place. Looking for that satisfaction and joy. You wonder why we're tired all the time, and why are we angry all the time? Why are we upset all the time? Angry sometimes not even knowing why we're angry. Just maybe we think we're in a mood. You know, God can change your mood. He can fix your mood. You can have joy all the time. If you can have joy when you go to work, I mean, that says something. You can have joy when you're at home. You can have joy when you're at work. You can have joy when you're just living life. That's the kind of joy that God wants to give you. But man is living and working and living and busy and doing this and doing that and all these things that we've anchored ourselves to, looking for something in those things. And God says, you'll search and search, but here's all you're going to get: tired. You're going to be so busy doing all this stuff, and you're just going to be tired, and you're never going to find what you're looking for out there. You're just going to be tired. Man, I think maybe we fit into that sometimes, don't we? I think maybe Pastor might be touching on something that's happening in my life. Who told him to preach about this morning? And we're just going through the Bible, amen? If you're being touched, I would say it's the Lord. Go to Luke chapter 10 with me. Luke chapter 10. I love this story. There's two ladies here, and we're just going to say this is one coin, okay? You ever flip the coin, you know? One coin. On one side of the coin is one of these ladies. On the other side of the coin is the other lady. And here's the point. All of us is either one or the other. You're either one of these or the other one of these. Look at verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village. We're talking about Jesus. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. So there's a lady, her name's Martha. She had a sister called Mary. There's the other lady. So now we have both sides of the coin, Mary and Martha, which sat at Jesus' feet. This is Mary. She's sitting at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha, Miss Martha, are you getting convicted over there? Martha was cumbered about with much serving. Came to him, said, Lord, can't you hear her? It's like a mom. It's not always a mom, but anyway. Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her come, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, just tender and gracious, long-suffering, merciful. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. Isn't that good that Jesus said one thing is needful? And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So here's what we have. We have Martha, who's busy and busy and busy. In fact, the Bible word that's describing Martha here is cumbered. Cumbered about. It literally means busy, but it means with, like, almost like an anxious kind of busy. She's cumbered about. She's bearing this heavy burden, and she's doing it alone. Nobody's helping me, and so she's carrying this burden, and she's cumbered about and working and serving and trying to do everything, and she feels like she's doing it alone. And Mary, look at Mary. She's just sitting there. She doesn't even care that I'm doing all of this and I'm doing all the work, and they're just sitting over there, just sitting over there reading her Bible and praying, and you know. Can you see her? Busy, 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 busy. Cumbered about, angry, frustrated. What a sad way to live, right? But yet we do that, don't we? Burdened and busy, and burdened and busy, and frustrated all the time. All these things we have to do, and sometimes we feel like nobody even cares, and nobody helps, and it's just, we're just cumbered about, and we're cumbered about. Cumbered. Just burdened. Busy. Busy. Too busy. Right? Too busy to have time for things. Too busy to give attention to the things that need attention. You know, I feel like the one of the saddest things, or maybe the most frustrating things about the connection of what Solomon's saying and Mary and Martha, is that what we're busy trying to get, you know, is a kind of satisfaction. We think that we'll go to these things and it'll bring some sort of a joy to our life. But it won't. It's the carrot. We're constantly reaching for it. But here's what's crazy, Brother Chris. What will give us that joy, it's right under our nose. It's right under our nose. It's right there. It's not out here. It's right here.
Hey, you guys. You see my pencil? I can't find it. It's right under my nose.
I thought maybe I could talk with that in there. I can't do it. So we're looking for something out there.
Right there.
It's right under our nose. You know, Pastor, I can't come to church today. Why not? Well, you know, we got some activities we're going to do. Why? Oh, you know, it's just fun. Fun stuff. You see? Searching for something out there when it's right here. It's right under your nose. You won't find it out there. Listen, I'm not going to be mad at people, honestly, because this is between them and God. I'm just doing what I do. I'll be here. That'd be pretty sad, wouldn't it? Brother Larry, I'm going to the lake today. You preach. No, I'll be here. I'll be here. Okay, don't worry about it. But it breaks my heart to see that people are so busy with these activities and these events and all of this stuff that we do throughout the week. It just wears us out, you know? And you're looking for something, it's right under your nose. It's right here. It's not this location, you know what I mean? Everybody would get a key, you could just come over here. Whenever you're feeling sad, just drive into the parking lot and then you'll get like the gas station, but it's spiritual, right? You'll just get filled up and then you can go home. It's not the location. It's God's ordained community. It's the people that are around you, the pastor who loves you, and the word that's delivered. Because God speaks to you. That's what fills us up. It comes from Him. And that's what breaks my heart, I suppose. Is we live in a world that wants it. The world says they offer it. The world says, oh yeah, we can give you joy, but you have to sacrifice the things of God. You have to, you know, you have to sacrifice the things of the Lord in your life to achieve it, to receive it. And you'll never find it. Let me encourage you this morning with a couple of things. That you don't allow yourself to get cumbered about with much work and much serving and much activities and much things that steal our hearts away from God and steal our hearts away from the things that matter. Remember that the joy that we're searching for, and by the way, God desires that we have, it comes from Him, and you'll find it in His Word. And so, even though it's true that the world offers it, you'll never find it. And so tell your heart that. Listen to God and let Him tell your heart that. Like, you know, I don't want to get too busy. Like, well, you know, we're going to start choir back up and Brother Stussy's excited about it, and we're gonna launch choir again. Don't let yourself be too busy. Now, there might be other reasons we don't want to be in choir, and that's okay. Pastor, you have to be able to like sing, right? Yeah, that would be a good thing. But don't let it be because you're too busy. But I'm too busy. I don't know about it. You know, I would serve in ministry, Pastor, but honestly, I'm pretty busy. You're too busy. You're too busy. If you can't give God your heart, give God your attention, then you're too busy. By the way, when we're too busy, literally it's because we're searching for something in our busy things that only God can give. And so we need to release those. We need to, how about this? We need to balance our priorities. And I'm not saying, well, okay, we need to quit our job and we need to, you know, do those things. But we need to balance our priorities. We need to get our life situated on the right path. If your kids can't come to youth activities and can't come to things, and it's because, and here's why, because you're too busy, then you're too busy. If you can't be involved with fellowships and with ministry and activities as it relates to the things of God, you're too busy. Okay? You need to remove some things and get your priority back on the things that matter. And you know what God will do? This is so crazy. He will give you what you're looking for out there, and it'll be better because it'll be the real thing. It'll truly satisfy. It'll truly fill you. You don't have to look out there for what's right under your nose. He's right here. And you can have him. We just have to rearrange our priorities and make God number one again. I hope that you'll be willing to do that this morning. I feel like this is an encouraging lesson, don't you? To rearrange our priorities, make him number one, and he'll fill you again. You know, I think that, and I'll finish with this, I think while at camp, the kids just get reminded, we all get reminded of this, when we're separated, and it's not just camp, but when we separate and we give our attention to God, and he builds that fire in us again. And we're reminded, oh yeah, this is what real joy feels like. This is what real happiness feels like. The world, it has its things and it offers its phony or counterfeit, you know, options, but it doesn't give you what God gives you. And so in your experience, you'll find that when you submit to God and you devote yourself to him and you're not too busy, that he'll fill you. And then you'll think, like probably most of us, why did I wait so long to do that? Why did I keep doing this, looking for something that was right under my nose? Well, it's the way, the tactic of the devil and the nature of our heart. But it can stop today if you'll be willing to admit it and just remove some things from the schedule. We're too busy. We're too busy. We're too busy. We're going to get our focus back on the things of God. Amen. All right, bow with me. Father, it's a joy to be here this morning with our church family. We look forward to what you're going to do today in the lesson, or rather in the message to come, and also later tonight when we have testimonies from camp, and we look forward to that. We do pray that your blessings would be on the day. I pray you'd work in the hearts of your people. Help us to love you with all our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.